you just talk to your customers, email them, ask them, hey, why didn't you check out? And that's where I find you get a lot of good feedback, or post-purchase asking, hey, you know, what was it that worked well? And you're going to get this great feedback. And then you take that, and then you go, and that's going to be that silver bullet. Because when you start analyzing that data, it's going to show you clearly what your customers want.
We're on a mission. We're going to find and uncover the smartest, most successful entrepreneurs on the planet, explore their highs, their lows, and how they ultimately mastered the game. I'm Martin Cook, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Smarter Destiny podcast. I'm grateful for you and your time. Now let's level up together.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Smarter Destiny podcast, where this time we have my good friend James Corr on the show. James is the co-founder of SMS Live, and we are going to get into that, and we're going to get into why you, when you know what you're going to know, are going to make a ton more money with your Shopify store. But before that, you want to know a little bit about James. So James has built one of the top 10 Facebook apps. Actually, that's like how he got started. He just made an app which was one of the top 10 apps of the whole of Facebook. So it had millions and millions of users. That is quite incredible. He has then gone on to work with brands that you might well have heard of, such as Bulletproof Coffee, Bowl & Branch, Diamond, Candles, and a host of others. Then you kind of realize that he knows a lot about helping these massive brands scale even bigger, which led to him becoming a consultant for Shopify Plus stores. Those are the stores where they're paying like $2,500 a month or something for the Plus plan. And he's helped over 150 of those brands. So he knows exactly what he's talking about, and realized that a lot of the teachings that he was giving to those massive brand owners are completely applicable and would be super helpful for every single Shopify store, which is what led to the launch of SMS Live, a software that is making his customers tons of money. And that's why I could not resist getting him on the show and getting him to open up and tell us all about how we very quickly can add a whole nother stream of revenue to our Shopify store. And the timing's great because we've got Black Friday upon us, y'all, and Christmas as well at the date of this recording. So it is super timely and super relevant. So block out your calendar. Let's listen to this together. Let's learn together, and let's bring James to the stage today. James, how's it going?
That's an awesome intro, Martin. Oh, it's going well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks. Whereabouts in the world are you, James?
So I'm in London, Ontario, in Canada.
Nice.
Sitting in the basement, the little dorm room.
I like that. Your basement looks very similar to our mutual friend, Philip Roro. Actually, like the downstairs, downstairs look of it. But
the wife kicked me downstairs, you know. So I guess I was too loud upstairs. So.
It's all good. It's good. Good sound quality. So the way we like to kick these things off, James, we like to go back to a point in your past which serves as a kicking off point for your entrepreneurial journey. A point where something happened that really set you loose on your entrepreneurial path. If you've got that kind of time in mind, can you take us back to that time and paint us a word picture?
Yeah, I'd say like how I got into kind of work for myself, the entrepreneurial, is I'd say grade 10 actually, is I was it was a programming class. I was way ahead of the class, and so the teacher would always give me extra work to do, and ended up like, okay, build this website for this person, help go build this site over here. And, you know, I'd stay up all night coding away. It was like for $1 or $2 an hour, basically. And you got that little taste of, okay, I can build this website for this, you know, this daycare over here. It's a friend of his, and made some extra cash while I was in class, because there's nothing else for me to do there. And then I was like, all right, maybe I can do another one. So I grabbed the Yellow Pages book at the time, went to the back, got all the people that were advertising, and started like cold calling them all. And like, I remember it's like my goal was like, I'll do, you know, 200 calls a day and just rip through them all. And was able to finally get a couple people calling me back. I was so excited. I remember it's like couple weeks of cold calling. And, you know, now you look at it and you look back, it's like, oh wow, I can't believe I did that. But that's where I started and got into the web development side of things.
Wow, that's really, really cool, and actually shows a lot of hustle. And you know, back then, I guess that, you know, that would be the place. You've got all of the, you've got this lead list that you can call. They're obviously advertising something else, but clearly they could do with a website or a better website. And so, what a great list there to call. And also, overcoming the fear that a lot of us have of the, you know, the customer that tells it fuck off and hangs up, right? Like getting over
that. A lot of that, yeah.
And just, you know, thickening your skin and so on. So how did that then lead into this top 10 Facebook app?
Yeah, so I did a lot of the websites, and then it was ended up becoming like around optimization, a lot of things around optimization. And so when I was in university, I was always poking around seeing what's going on. There was the Facebook apps was fairly new at that time. And I was like, you know what, let me try to make something. So I went online, I wanted some type of sample code. And so I remember I bought this code online. It was a couple $100 for some guy. And I was like, okay, I can learn a lot. And then I just started building on that. And I was like, what are some cool little things? And it resulted in, okay, well, you want to know who's looking at your profile. And so I can create this thing like top 10 friends or whatnot. And then I was like, okay, I want to monetize this. And then, so I got into adding ads in there, help pay for the server costs and whatnot. And it started as a little fun thing. And then I was like, all right, well, I had all the different ad networks showing me which ones are best. They're saying, oh, okay, we can pay you the most. And so I was like, all right, well, since I'm on Facebook, I have data about people. And so I'm going to serve it across many different ad networks and see who can pay me the best for which types of customers or users. And then, so that's kind of where I started on the Facebook side. And then I added more monetization pieces of, I won't show you the top person, you have to pay, or you share it with your friends, that kind of thing. And then people got upset saying, I'm not a top, you know, top stock or whatever. So I made another app, which was you pay $5 and you won't show up as somebody's top friend or top stalker. And so I had those two apps kind of counterbalance each other. And yeah, it was going well. It was make a couple $1,000 a day. And, yeah, and then it got so much that I was like, okay, I got to either drop out of school and focus on that or stay in school. What do I do? So I ended up selling off that so I can finish my degree.
Fantastic. So I know we're skipping a couple of steps here, but in the introduction, we talked about you working with brands like Bulletproof Coffee, Boll & Branch, Diamond Candles, and so on. How did that come about and what kind of help were you giving them?
Yeah, so I was working at a company in San Francisco called Symphony Commerce. Their model was back before Shopify Plus was a thing, is they would build the site for free and then they would help them get out there in the world of, okay, well, we'll take a percentage of revenue. And so they did, I came on board, streamline that process of how they can launch more sites faster in a nice way. And that was great. But then there was always that problem there of, now those brands are stuck. How do I market them? And how do I get more traffic? Because that was usually on the brand level. So after, you know, Symphony decided to pivot, and when I left, did some traveling, I decided to reach out to some of those brands and say, hey, look, I can help you monetize your traffic and help you with all of that. So that's how I got into the consulting world and how I got to know those brand owners. I learned a lot talking with them and just learning about the e-commerce space in general.
I bet. And so I guess it's a natural transition then to be like, hang on, I'm helping all these people, but it's not necessarily my brand or there's other people. I could do this for myself and help a lot more people because I'll have more capacity, but also it'll be kind of on my own terms. Is that how Only Growth got started?
Yeah. Well I was traveling. My wife was studying in Australia. So I was there, you know, trying to figure out what to do. You know, she was in class studying. I'm like, what am I going to do here? I don't really know anybody else at a cafe, you know? And so then I was like, all right, well, let me reach out, see if I can start helping and figuring out what I'm going to do next. And then it just ended up working out well, a lot of word of mouth. And so that's kind of just stumbled into Only Growth and built that as a Shopify Plus agency as what it was. I did that for 5 years before selling that off.
I think I would be completely missing a trick if I didn't ask, what are some of the biggest wins that you see e-commerce brands missing time and time again that you're like, when you see a potential customer or a potential person that you can help, they've missed it, you're like, oh, here we go, cha-ching, I can make them some good money here with this piece of advice.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always those common things that people stick on of like, okay, the cart abandonment and what have you. But it's looking at their business as a whole and seeing where you can streamline it and optimize it. And I think that's what stuck with me from the beginning of all the web stuff that I started with. That optimization piece was really interesting to me. And so I had one brand, for example, is shoot and with shoes, a common thing is they end up with all these oddball sizes and you don't know how to get rid of them, right? And so that's a problem that they would bring to me and say, okay, well, how can we fix this? Can we make this better? We can liquidate it, cents on the dollar. And it becomes not about making money, but minimizing your losses in that sense. And so I was like, all right, well, let's add a collection to your store, which is basically final sale, half price. You're going to get three types of shoes. It's a mystery box. You have no idea what's inside, no refunds, no exchanges. And it worked out so well, they decided to add a whole collection of just those of like, okay, back to school, fall, winter, what have you, collections just of these mystery boxes to help get rid of the inventory they can't sell of those oddball sizes. And so things like that, there's a lot of opportunities with brands that are outside of, yeah, it works on their e-com side, but it's when you look at the business as a whole, those pieces that can be optimized, I think that's a big missed opportunity for a lot of brands.
Absolutely. What's a quite a common opportunity to optimize that you see more generally across e-commerce brands?
Yeah, I'd say it's when you talk to the customers, that's where a lot of things come out. And that's a lot of times you're just looking for, okay, go on Facebook or talk to your network and see what's this, you know, the silver bullet that you can do, right? What's that real big quick win? And surprisingly, it's you just talk to your customers, email them, ask them, hey, why didn't you check out? And that's where I find you get a lot of good feedback or post-purchase asking, hey, you know, what was it that worked well? And you're going to get this great feedback. And then you take that and then you go and that's going to be that silver bullet. And because once you start analyzing that data, it's going to show you clearly what your customers want that you have on your site. And your customers may vary from someone else. Like a real quick example is we've seen someone that was using Afterpay. And when we surveyed the customers, what was happening is a lot of people were getting denied from Afterpay. And so when you're going to figuring out, okay, well, what payment solution do I go and use? There's a lot of them, right? Afterpay is just one. And so when you see a lot of your customers are getting denied and they didn't know and you didn't know, well, maybe Afterpay is not a good fit for your business and it doesn't matter what the fee of Afterpay is or not. And so then you end up going to someone else. And it could be vice versa of different other solutions, but that's something that I've seen come as a result of asking customers that ends up resulting in increased conversions overall.
Nice. I like that. And then, of course, we introduced it in the introduction of all times, obviously. You're the co-founder of SMS Live. Now, I've used SMS Live, and I am fully on board with the extra money. I like the extra money that comes from, you know, SMS messaging our customers, right? And this has worked for me across a number of brands. And then we've got a number of people, like mutual friends, that use it massively and would probably prefer I kept it up my sleeve a little bit here and didn't share it with the world, but we're going to because we're a value-based podcast. Sorry, guys. SMS, I guess elephant in the room, is SMS marketing spamming your customers with offers that come in to their phone in the form of SMS?
Yeah, so I guess it comes back to what is spamming, right? Is that's unwanted messaging. And so when you look at it is, especially around the checkout, when you capture an email there, you don't think twice to send them an email, right? You're going to send it off and because you know it works and stuff like that. So way back when, email wasn't a thing. And then all of a sudden, people are using email, making massive amounts of money on it. And then where we are today, now it's kind of out of the box standard for everybody. So you got to look at where SMS is today, where it's a huge opportunity. Over time, maybe the costs are going to get too expensive, but right now it's a golden opportunity for you to come in, talk to those customers. And if they don't want to receive your messaging, make it very easy for them to say they're not interested. And unlike with email, where a lot of people get discouraged with email, people can just click unsubscribe and you never really see that part. With texting, you're going to get a response and it's usually going to be stop or unsubscribe. So you really want to honor those requests. And one of the things specifically around preventing the spam is we found about 12% of all the opt-outs might be used to reply stopped unsubscribe, but it's around taking into account natural language. So people saying wrong number because they entered the number, it was a gift, they send it to a friend, now you're texting the friend, not the person that actually purchased. So those types of things, they're not going to reply stop, they're just going to say wrong number. You want to opt those people out automatically. And that's where you can really make the value of your list a lot higher. Yeah, the unsubscribe rate's going to be high off of the checkout. I've seen unsubscribe rate 10 to 15%. That's fine, but don't get discouraged because there's a bunch of people that really find a lot of value in that texting. And we've seen people, they will segment themselves saying, actually, I don't really want the email anymore. I prefer the texting or what have you, especially when it comes to what's the order statuses.
So what I like is when something like a traffic source or a marketing solution where we're speaking to our customers or potential customers, I like it when customers vote with their wallets. So an example, for example, at Nubru, I love the stat returning customers. And I love seeing customers buy, say, a month supply up front and then come back and order a 3 month or a 6 month supply because it says that they've got it, they like it, and they want more, and they're happy to buy a bigger volume. So in terms of SMS, what kind of stats, money-related stats, are you seeing that suggests that actually customers as a whole really like this?
Yeah, I think it's when you come into and you see the cart recovery aspect. You know, cart recovery is a very basic flow. It's usually high ROI. So on that, we've seen them like over 200 times ROI on the abandoned cart side. And the campaigns, you know, usually people start around 4 times ROI, but once you start pruning off those people that don't want to be on your list, it actually gets up to a little over 20 times ROI. So that's huge there. When you're looking at abandoned carts, typically it's common to see a 1 in 4 abandoned cart recovered using email alongside SMS. And when you combine those two together and helping the customer, that's where you're able to recover a ton of those carts.
Amazing. So when you're talking about ROI, you're talking about the cost of sending those messages versus the return, i.e. the revenue that comes from those messages you sent. For abandoned cart, you're seeing a 200 times ROI, and for campaigns, which is when you're sending out like a flash offer or something like that, or something a bit more sophisticated, you're seeing 20 ROI.
Yeah, it doesn't even need to be about, a lot of people think campaigns around, sending out a mass discount. If you keep sending, 20% off, 20% off, that kind of idea, customers are not going to stay long on your list, right? So it's about mixing in those engagement ones with the offer. We've seen things where if you send, let's say you grab your VIP customers, you send them a free product, no catches, free shipping, free product, absolutely free. They'll go in there. And a portion of them will end up purchasing. So even when you take the cost of the sending of those messages, your ROI on that overall campaign is well over 20 times ROI. So it just goes to show, it's like, it's not about discounting all the time. It could be as simple as I've seen, if you send a campaign that's maybe to a blog post you did maybe 6 months ago, doesn't matter, you can get anywhere between 35 cents to 60 cents per message that you send out. So that's, it's huge. And just about engaging, we've seen ones where it's like, hey, today, what's today, a hint, and then you do a leaf emoji, people will reply back with the fall, and then you have an auto message back saying, fall in love with our new fall collection, use fall 20 to save 20% off. And you make it a little bit more interactive, and that really improves the overall ROI of that campaign.
Nice. And so people that are listening right now and going, oh, wow, there's potentially a lot of money I could make. And for those listening that are about to realize that they may well have been collecting the phone numbers of their customers for a long time, like customers love entering those numbers for like delivery updates and so on. And so actually your database may well have quite a few numbers that you could immediately message and they've kind of never been messaged. How would those people, once they go to your site, once they go to sms.live, and sign up, what's the low hanging fruit, right? Like we want money immediately. We don't, effort's good and longer term, that's fine. But what do you recommend for the people that are just like, do you know what? Just tell me what I need to do right now to, once I'm in there, what campaign I can set up and just immediately start just banking on this software.
Yes. So one of the things that's unique to us is that the brands that we focus on serving. So we're not in the app store where you have, you know, 100,000 people installing your app. It's like we're very selective of who we work with, what allows us. So if we're focused on high volume brands and they're using, you know, top tier, best of breed applications, we can really make those integrations a lot more thoughtful and what have you. And so when you go to install our application, we'll look, okay, analyze what type of store you are, and we're going to, you know, populate defaults for you automatically. So you can just come in and click enable, 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 and you'll see the ROI. You're going to get probably between 40 and 80 times ROI. Once you see that, then you'd be like, okay, now it's kind of worth me going in, change it a little bit to be a little bit more on brand. And then that's where you can get up to over 200 times ROI. And we help you do that. But when you come in, it's going to be all defaulted for you. And we really help you see that.
So let me just get that straight and repeat that back to you. So when they come in and install the app itself analyzes their store, the kind of stuff going on, and then you make suggestions for campaigns and features that they can turn on, and all they have to do is tick a button.
Yeah, exactly. And so we'll look at your past order history, and so we do ask for quite a few permissions, and so we'll see like, okay, well, majority of your customers are in, let's say, the US. You have a portion in the UK, portion in Canada. So we'll automatically create three segments for you based on those people, see how they're ordering, what's the average discount that's going on if you're doing discounting. And so your cart abandonment would automatically be pre-populated with those types of details.
Beautiful. And so what about, so we talked a little bit off air and I thought this would be something juicy to get on. So we've all, I guess we know what using SMS say for an abandoned car, and we know about using SMS say for campaigns. What's something we don't know about using SMS Live to engage with our customers via their mobile phone?
Yeah, so one of the things I've found that works really well is the order status. So you may be familiar with getting a lot of customers saying, "Where's my order? Where's my order?" Especially, you know, with now the delays in shipping. And so we added in this thing where an automation around order is created. So the order is created, you send them a text saying, "Hey, I just seen your order come through. So excited. And I'll update you over text and email with the tracking once it's shipped out. Thanks and have a great day." And then what happens is you send them the next automated flow, which will trigger when it's in transit. And then you'll say, "Hey, you know what? It's being shipped out. Here's your order number. Here's a link to USPS or where have you. And you can go and check your, you know, the status." And then that works well. And when you go and do that, we've seen actually a drop in the support side of things, email support asking about order status by 37%, just from adding those two automations. So that works well. And then what you do is, since you have that great experience over text, is you add in this, the third one, which is a successful delivery. And so it pulls apart the ones that are not delivered, maybe wrong address, whatever. You only send it to those ones that successfully delivered, and then you ask for a review. Say, "Did you receive it yet? And yes, they obviously did, because it's been successfully delivered, hopefully the right address. And then you ask for that review on third-party websites. So you're usually probably always asking over email, like for site reviews and, you know, using Stamped or Yopo or Judgment, anything like that on your site. And what you want to do is get those Google, Facebook, Trustpilot reviews. And we've seen brands, Shopify Plus brands, going from a 3.6 star to a 4.7 star in all within 30 days by asking those positive customers to leave reviews on these third-party sites.
Amazing. And what's the open rates on a text message?
So you can't really track the exact open rates on them, but you can track successfully delivered. And so we track a lot of different statuses, whether it's blocked on the carrier level, for whatever reason they thought it was spam, whether it was a customer blocked your number, or it's a disconnected number, reassigned number, all those types of things. So it's 98-99% usually in that range. And then once you start filtering out those customers, it's going to be near 100% deliverability. Whether the person sees your text or not, you know, we don't know, but majority of those texts are going to be seen for sure.
Yeah, I don't ignore a lot of text messages. I certainly see text messages.
Yeah. Like the click rate speaks for itself, right? You're getting typically a 15% click-through rate. We've seen some brands where it's near 40% click-through rate. The real test is, you know, send out a free Starbucks gift card and see what your click rate is. You know, those I've seen over 50%. So it's it really goes to show that deliverability must be pretty high.
Absolutely. Right. And so before we go into the rapid fire question round, for those people in the audience that are going, damn, I am leaving money on the table by not doing SMS. I thought it was spamming the customers. I didn't realize that actually you can do a whole bunch of stuff where it's actually a nice experience for the customers that translates to an ROI, higher reviews, happy customers, less customer service issues about order status. And they're like, damn, actually, this sounds like something that's quite good. Where do they go to get started and what happens?
Yeah, like you just go to sms.live. You can install the app from there. It's pretty quick. It's not surprising. We've seen some customers that call me up and say, you know, holy smokes, I've already seen a positive ROI in the first 30 minutes. I just installed it 30 minutes ago, and they're just shocked on how quick it comes in. So you just install, click activate on the default flow. Don't even worry about changing it. See what happens, right? You'll get 40 to 80 times ROI. There's some brands it's not a good fit for, right? And that's really what you're going to try to figure out. If you're not getting 40 to 80 times ROI, texting is probably not a fit for your business. And an example of that is, let's say, cold pressed juice. Most of the customers don't care to have a relationship over text. They just want a discount code. So you can do your texting, but it's just going to be pretty much just discounting. But the brands where there's more of a relationship, more of a community, those brands excel. You know, they do extremely well over text.
Beautiful. So go to sms.live and hit a sign up button, install the app. Sounds pretty simple to collect money.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Send James an email and say thank you. All right, wicked. Okay, well, at this point in the show, we like to mix it up a little bit. We go into the rapid fire question round. I ask the questions quickly. You can take a little bit longer to answer them, but it's at your own pace. I know you're very nervous because I gave you a little preview of the questions. That's fine, James. You will be fine. Are you up for that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you two thumbs up?
I can't phone a friend, eh?
No, you can't do that. All right, question number one. What superhero or superpower would you have or be, and why?
Yeah, I'd say my superhero would be my mom, actually. She remains very calm in stressful situations, and so you wouldn't know what's going on. And, you know, she just kind of keeps to herself and very calm, but behind the scenes in her brain is just going a mile a minute. So yeah, that's what I'd say.
Nice. What's one thing that people often incorrectly assume about you?
So they incorrectly assume that I don't sleep because I'm always so quick to respond. But what it is honestly, I just hire the best team that I can. And, you know, they're in there filling in the gaps, and it makes it so it's really easy. I know, okay, going to check here. Wake up after 3 hours, respond to text, those types of things, but definitely get a lot of sleep.
What is the most pointless subject taught at schools, in your opinion, and what would you replace it with?
Oh, that's a tough one. that one's a stumper. I'd say there is this one course I took around like symbols, and it's all variables and trying to figure out all that. And it was a fairly tough course. I think, you know, over half the class failed it and had to kick the professor out or something like that. There's some crazy thing that went down. But I'd probably replace that more with algorithms or more math type course. So then you can really help you with the problem solving. So when you get in these difficult things or optimizing problems that I really enjoy, that's what I'd replace it with.
Nice. What's one random act of kindness you've either witnessed or done yourself?
So one of the things that it's quite simple, and it's just putting money on at a cafe. So I like to do this at a drive-through. You go to pay for your order, just put an extra $20 or something like that. And so then the person behind you gets a free drink. things like that. I've done that, and I've actually been the recipient of that too. And you know, it's something that's, it doesn't cost much, and it's very simple, but it really can make someone's day, especially in the morning, right? You're rushing and trying to do all that, and it's just like, okay, you know what, makes my day a little bit more calm and brings a smile to your face.
Nice. What unusual or underrated food or drink should more people try out?
Oh, that's another tough one. My wife's usually all the foodie in the house. I'm not too sure, man. There's a lot of Asian food that I've tried that's been, it's been pretty good. It can look a little different, but when you actually try it, it's pretty good. So I just kind of throw the net out over there, and a bunch of stuff that you probably wouldn't expect to try. And yeah, just giving it a go.
What's one mistake you made in your life, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, so one mistake, there's a lot, but I would say when building a previous business that I've done, and you think, okay, it's growing very fast and whatnot, and you kind of second guess yourself, like, you know what, I don't know if I can do this because it's growing so fast. And so then you make the chance of like, okay, I should sell it or bring in someone else. You kind of you panic because you don't know what to do in that particular case. You feel you've taken something from zero to something so quick, and so you end up either selling a portion of your business, or you don't really have that necessarily that full confidence that, wow, this is actually working. I am helping a lot of people. And so I'd say, like, just having more confidence of, like, when you hit something and it's a success, really stick with it and know what you have, what you built has been a lot of value, and continue to drive that and help more folks. Because when people take it over, it may not necessarily be your mission anymore of where you had the trajectory of where you wanted the business to go.
Nice. What does the first 30 to 60 minutes of your day look like, and at what time does it start?
Yeah, so I start my day around 6:30, 6:45 typically, though I do wake up around 2 or 3 to answer some quick messages, see, you know, if there's people using our software around the world. So I want to make sure that, hey, if they're waiting on anything, things answered quick. But yeah, typically get to bed 6:30, 6:45. And then it's just chasing my 1.5-year-old son around the house, basically, to try to get him dressed. That's pretty much what my day starts like.
Where do you go, or what do you do to get inspired?
I like to go for a lot of walks, and so that usually my wife and I will go on some trails or whatnot, take a drive, even if it's an hour away, and it just gets you away from that computer. And I think that's really what gets your brain thinking a little differently. And there was actually a point in my life I got rid of my phone for well over a year, and so there was no way to contact me, and I think it drove some people nuts, but it really helped me clear my head and figure out, okay, where do I want to go, what am I working on, and is it really making an impact? And yeah, overall I found that just being relaxed, it helps you go forward in the right direction.
I like that. What book do you read, recommend, or gift the most?
I'd say it's called The Extreme Revenue Growth. That one is, it's a great book. It's a short read, and it really helps CEOs or business owners figure out how to systemize their business and optimize all little pieces in there, and realize the CEO shouldn't be stuck in the business, and what should their role be. A lot of the times it's around the business owner is stuck inside the business, and when you pull them out, they don't know what they're doing. They're like, I have all this free time. And so that book really helps you figure out what should you be focused on in your day to day, and as you go and actually run a business that will scale and you won't be stuck inside of it. Because I've been stuck inside of one of my businesses previously, and it was painful to come out. So that book I recommend a lot.
What silly things should people do more of?
Silly thing. I think, like, well for me, it's you know, since I have a 1.5-year-old son, it's you know, you just start, you worry less about what other people think in that sense. And I'll be out there on the street doing a little dance or carrying a stuffed dog, you know, making weird sounds and faces to get them to laugh. And I think it's sometimes you just got to get out of your element to make other people smile and laugh. regardless if you have a young child. But it just helps other people, have a great day and smile.
Beautiful. If you could change one world problem with one wish, what would it be?
One world problem, aside from helping people recover more carts.
that's a real first world problem.
that's a big problem, right?
Yeah.
No, I think it's just, it's not necessarily one thing, but really getting to the idea of the money will come is if you really figure out what the customers or what people, where they want to go and what their problems are. And if you help them, like for us, we have an SMS solution, obviously. But some people's problems is not just about sending campaigns. It is about more reviews and making their customers happy. And are you able to tailor what you have to help them achieve where they want to go? If you can help more people achieve what they want, then that's just going to naturally lift you up. And that's one of the things I wish more people would focus on, just generally helping other folks and improve their businesses and in their lives.
Amazing. And then final question, James, but it's a doozy. What makes you happiest?
Yeah. So what makes me happiest? To be honest, it's when my son comes home and, I'm at the door. I'm usually at the door actually. And, good 10, 15 minutes before he arrives home, and in the summer months, I'd have the stroller, some fresh fruit and a bowl, his water there, just ready to go for a walk, and sometimes my wife's like, yeah, you're a little too eager, maybe we'll go for the walk after dinner. But, I'm just so happy I've been working the day, and just to see him come in and then just, have a couple hours before he goes off to bed, obviously. But seeing him at the end of every day, that's what makes me the happiest.
Amazing. Well, James, that brings us to the end of the question round. At this point, I just want to ask you, do you have any asks or requests of the guys and girls listening today?
Yeah, I'd say when you go to optimize your site in any way and you're focusing on your business, I think taking some time and reflecting and sending out that survey and asking your customers what things that they would like to see or improve, I think you'd be very surprised at some of those answers that you'll get back, and that'll help your business overall. So I'd say, I encourage you guys to send out some type of survey. It doesn't need to be over text. it can be over email or what have you. And see what kinds of responses you get. And especially when you see how happy they are that you asked. That's one of the things I think that you'd be very surprised about.
Nice. And the link to the amazing SMS solution, once again, is
sms.live.
sms.live. It's very simple, quite easy to remember.
Yep.
And it's a URL, folks. Awesome. James, thank you so much for taking the time today to share with us, to give us some juicy tips that we can immediately implement in our Shopify store to make more money, because we all like having more money, and hopefully they're brands that are now making more money are purpose-driven brands, and so more good is coming from that purposeful, charitable giving element as well. But regardless, the money's there thanks to the SMS that we're all going to go out and add to our site. Thank you so much for actually explaining it to us, dumbing it down for me, not for the listeners, dumbing it down for me so I can understand why it's good, why I should do it. And thanks for taking the time, man.
Yeah, thanks so much, Martin.
Hey there, you incredibly good-looking human. Thanks so much for listening. If you had a good time today and would like more good times in the future, please hit that subscribe button and leave a heartwarming review. I read them all, and it will go a long way to help others out there benefit from all the teachings of this show. And if you want to get in touch or otherwise learn more about me, head to martincook.co.uk or smarterdestiny.com. I really appreciate you. You're an incredible human. Until next time, keep crushing.